If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
The Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Well, hello, hello there.
Hello. Happy Friday.
And happy Black Moon. And on that humorous note, how has your week, just as a brief note, been with all the energies going on?
I have no idea. I don't know. I can't even think about how the week has been. The week doesn't even seem to have existed at this point because today has been so outside of ordinary. I think I'm still spinning in outside of ordinary. Because today is the beginning of Hexenfest, which is a pagan music festival that happens in Northern California. This year, it's in the charming little town of Geyserville at a location called Isis Oasis. And my store, Milk and Honey, is vending. So we had to pack up the car and the goods and the stuff and drive out to Geyserville, which is, you know, a half an hour away. But still, my normal routine is not to do that. And then I spent several hours setting that up and making it look all cute, and then abandoning my partner up there to man the booth while I drove back into town and picked up my daughter from school and took her home and then came over here to do the show with you. So I can't tell if I'm coming or going right now.
Oh, well, that I can understand. It's sort of been as if time, dare I say it, stood still in many ways. Yeah. This week has been uncomfortable for me. I don't know if it's just because of the changing of the season and all of that, but truthfully, it's just, you know, do each day, and today was the day for this show, so I've been looking forward to it, and yet, you know, it takes the time we have to get things together and put the energies that we need together. So that's really about it. It would definitely be, though, a shift in energy is felt all the way around.
Yeah. I feel like from a astrological perspective, I feel like we've come through several veils of shadow and darkness and oppression and heavy.
Yeah.
It seems like the final veil has started to be released, and that there's a lightness and you know, even though it's sort of ironic because we're going into the dark part of the year and it's getting darker earlier, and, you know, that Samhain tide energy is definitely starting to be felt, but I'm also feeling a little bit more confident and less constricted and a little bit more my faith is very strong, and, you know, like the little wave of depression I was slogging through seems to be a little lighter, you know? So it's just interesting. I think that the stars are being kinder to us.
That is good. Well, Pluto did go direct on Monday, so that kind of makes another kind of energy, and it moves us again into the upper world, or beginning to see the light, as we say, within ourselves. I think it's more that than it is the external light or the situation.
Right.
So, but obviously, the situation for that coming into then the dark moon, which is what we're going to be talking about very, very shortly, like instantaneously. And, you know, that process is I think, what we've been feeling in a very real way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, with that, what is a black moon?
What is a black moon? So, I think most people have heard the term blue moon. And a blue moon, have two full moons in one calendar month. The second of those full moons is called the blue moon. Now, the opposite of that, when you have two new moons in one calendar month, the second one is called a black moon. And that is what is happening right now, or minutes ago. We were trying to figure out exactly what time the new moon officially happened, and it was, what did you say, 5:11?
5:11 p.m., so it was before our show, and we wound up, obviously, they tell us in the Eastern time, so we had to do our mathematics, oh my goodness. And we survived and came up with 5:11 p.m. is when it officially happened, but we are still within the energy of this process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
So it's not a super rare event to have a black moon. It happens... where did it go? Oh, there. Well, about once every 2.5 years, we have a black moon. So it is special, but it's not, you'll never have this again in your lifetime.
Right. I think that's more allocated, if you really want to know, is to the bigger bodies that are the planets and, you know, things that are going on out in the bigger part of the world rather
right.
than our, you know, little bitty corner.
Right.
I think the next one is supposed to be July 2019. So,
there you go.
Yeah, we're... Yep. But it's special. It has its own energy. It just means that there's more potency to the new moon energy than it was before at the first one. It's the second one. It's like bigger, more intense in that way to push the energies forward. So
yeah, I always think of the new moon as a good time for a release or a new beginning or doing something that really requires a fresh start or perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels, for me anyway, it feels like having two of those in 1 month is like a double down.
Right.
Oh, now you get extra energy, extra support, extra environmental push to work through that stuff.
Right.
And with, like you said, Pluto going direct.
Right.
And we're out of the shadow of Mercury retrograde.
Yes,
all
we
of
are.
These things are going direct, and now we have this extra new moon energy. It feels really potent in a solid, positive way. You
right.
know, the potency
right.
of other things can sometimes be heavy or challenging or difficult, but this feels potent in a light way, in a refreshing way, in a like almost a reset button.
I'll use that one as a definite because I like the idea of a reset, especially when you're talking about, you know, things that you start at the beginning of a new moon cycle and then you work your way through the process and then you get another chance to really put some more energy towards it and really kind of oomph it up. So, and I think we might want to discuss the idea of what, if this is something that I actually had a real like, oh my goodness, is the fact that they're dark moon and new moon, and they keep getting put together, and they really aren't the same thing.
Right, right.
So
they are not only are they put together, though, like used as if they're the same term, dark moon and new moon, but they're also used, they're flip-flopped. I think there's a lot of confusion in the pagan community about what it is, and, you know, I've probably said this on other shows, but does it really matter? I don't know. You be the judge of that. Your mileage may vary. But I feel like it's important to at least know, like, this is what this actually means. This is what this actually means. And, you know, having the background and the information to at least speak about what you're talking about from a a legit perspective. And you know, to be totally transparent, I didn't know this until I started doing research for the show tonight. All of the stuff we're going to talk about, the moon void, of course, the new moon, the dark moon, I've used those words interchangeably throughout my practice, and I've been wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of annoyed.
Same here. Hand up. Yes. So what is a void, of course?
Yes. Okay. So this was fascinating to do the research on this because I've actually always been intimidated by the term void, of course. And I once had a teacher sort of admonish me about using that term, but then didn't explain to me what it meant. And because I'm a stubborn little Taurus, I was like, fine, I'm not going to find out what it means either. I'm going to completely ignore it and pretend like it has no influence on my life. So this show has forced me to come out of my Taurus pout and to do some research. So void, of course, moon void, of course, comes from horary astrology. And it's something super technical. And it actually, what I discovered in my copious amounts of research, other countries, especially European countries that are into astrology, don't really give a lot of credence or energy to the VOC, the void of course concept.
Really?
It's mostly an American thing.
Well, that does make us unique.
Right? And what it is, it's super technical. The moon moves from one astrological sign to another, and it does this about every 2.5 days. It moves from one sign to the next and one sign to the next, and there is a moment, a blip, a pause, when it ends in one sign and when it starts in the next. So about every 2.5 days, it leaves this one, and then there's a breath, and then it goes into this one, right?
Wow.
So that period of in-between is the moon void, of course. The moon is not being influenced by any sign, and it is not influencing any sign. It's kind of in limbo. And the mythology, the story behind that, is if you try to do anything during a VOC period, anything you do will also be void. So it can be anything like starting a business, getting a haircut, talking on the telephone, anything just doesn't count. So I feel like clock the time for all the voids and eat whatever the heck you want.
That sounds really good.
Or go and buy something ridiculously expensive that you technically can't afford because it'll just be void.
It will not matter.
Right? But the pause actually is not consistent. It's not like it always pauses for 5 minutes. Sometimes it's a minute. Sometimes it's 2 minutes. Sometimes the pause can take up to 2 days.
Wow.
So paying attention to the void period is actually, from a magical perspective, it would be best to know when those long voids are happening.
Right.
Because if you do try to do spell work or ritual during a long moon void period, you might be wasting your energy.
Right.
So
right.
That is the moon void, of course, or VOC.
Ah, see, now I understood some of that. And, you know, the other bit, as you say, oh, well.
Fancy.
Yes, it is. It is. So the other part of this is the dark moon and the new moon. And what you have, of course, is the dark moon is officially a 3-day period, and it's completely, literally dark. The new moon is when the little crescent that starts to show as the light begins to happen.
Right.
So is at the end of the 3rd day. And that's when you are approximately the 3rd day. Nothing is valued as stationary when it comes to the moon or even the planets. It's
right.
What we basically can work within terms of timing. And obviously there are things that the dark moon significates, and we will talk a little bit more about that on the second half of the show. But it is an energy of rest, release, and of that nature before you start the new moon, which is new beginnings, hence new moon. Very nice.
Some of what I was taught also is the new moon from astronomical perspective, from a NASA science perspective, it's different than from an astrological or magical perspective. So that is probably where some confusion comes from with the new moon, dark moon, is that some folks are using astrology.
Right.
Some folks are using astronomy.
Right.
And neither is wrong. It's just different ways of doing the math.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I feel it's important. Well, I don't know if important is the right word, but it's good to know which calendar you're reading.
And, you know, when you're talking, it's the same thing as trying to be on the same page with someone. You try to find an area where you have a common ground to discuss something. So it's good for us to, when we're talking about it, to state where we're coming from, I believe, better than just assuming the other person knows what
right.
we're talking about.
Right, right. So according to NASA, the new moon is the end of the dark moon. But according to astrology, like you were saying
mm-hmm.
just a minute ago, the new moon is when you can see the moon again in the sky.
Right.
So we're talking potentially even minutes or seconds of a difference.
Right.
But if you're wanting to be down to the minute or the second in some very intense specific working that you're doing,
mm-hmm.
you want to know what you're dealing with.
Right, right. And that becomes the next part of, well, what do we do on a new moon? I mean, what is it that a new moon is good for? Why would we even care about a new moon as opposed to the old moon?
Oh, the poor old moon.
I know.
Talking about the new moon.
I
the old
know.
Moon gets no attention.
No attention.
Youth-based culture.
Okay, so.
And Elvira.
Hey, you know, the one thing I have learned through all of the work I've done is the humor. And if you're talking about something, I guess, yes, there is sadness and there is a time when we are serious. But right now, I think being on a show that we're talking about various things, if I sit and I look at what I would say is a stand-up comic, which I never would be, but I'm a sit-down comic, that it would probably be something where you can kind of look at what we're talking about and say, oh, look at this, it's kind of funny.
Well, you know, the charge of the goddess says mirth and reverence. So there is plenty of room for mirth in paganism and witchcraft.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, yes. And I truly take that to heart. I think it's, you know, if I look at the fact that being born in Sagittarius and December and Saint Nick or Santa Claus or ho, 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 I guess I must be part of that jolly energy. So, okay, new moon. So, what do we do on a new moon? We take and begin cycles. It's a beginning part. So it would be starting new projects. It would be putting out the idea of something that you want to do, a new discipline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The idea of creating something that is going to happen for the next approximate 28 days or more.
Right.
Using that energy.
Right. Thinking of the fact that whatever you start on that new moon is going to grow as the moon grows.
Mm-hmm.
So things that you want for increase, things that
mm-hmm.
you want to grow, things that you want, this, what seeds are you planting right now?
Right.
You can watch those things grow literally as you watch the moon grow in the sky every night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's another part of the symbology, of course, the seed, where you have the roots coming out and the stem and the little leaves coming up or whatever plant you're having come up. It's the idea that it's growing, it's breaking through. So it needs extra energy to be able to do that. I mean, that's just like anyone who's knows about birthing from either a actual personal experience or from watching our very loving pets or others have babies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain power in that birthing process. So you're using that to make it come forward. Whereas in the resting period, it's about letting things decay and die or rest and kind of use that. So it's like coming out of that.
Right. Right. There's also a lot of superstition. And if you listened to our full moon episode, you heard a lot of full moon fun facts.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few new moon fun facts, which really, I'm going to be clear here, these are just moon fun facts because once you start looking up superstitions on the moon, they don't just go, here's all the new moon ones and here's all the full moon ones. So
no.
Just mix it up. So it is believed that if you see the moon over your right shoulder,
mm-hmm.
it's auspicious and good luck. However, if you see the moon over your left shoulder, it's considered bad luck or a negative sign, which I just think is more right-handed BS. because I'm left-handed and those right-handed people are always trying to take over the world.
Well, I understand. I am one of those right-handed people, but I do feel that I tend to actually, the left is much more intriguing, even though I don't write with my left hand. I think of it as it's the path less chosen. I understand what the Hermetic tradition is about, left and right path, but I don't, since I don't practice that, I'm not looking at it that way.
Right.
But I would tell you that kind of a fun fact, I think it is biased.
It is.
It is biased, definitely.
Yeah.
So, and obviously we have, what I would tell you is, trust and be open to the things that come when you start to make this process happen, because that's the other part of doing magic, is trusting the dynamics of what's going on. So that would be part of putting a ritual together, and we've decided that at the end of the show we will do a ritual, which Phoenix has graciously gone ahead and put together. But as we look at it, it's also cycles. And one of the things I found, which was very interesting, is that technically, this is, again, is one of those things about where you get your information, but there are five tides. And yes, the moon in its totality affects the tides of the ocean, which we know, but it is one of those where the most extremes are actually both at the full and new moon, and they're called spring tides, which comes from a Welsh word that means to bulge. So obviously, to bulge. Well, you figure they are big tides. So, and then there's called the Earth tides, which is actually very interesting because the moon pulls on the crust of the Earth. So the surface could actually rise when the moon is overhead in its fullness, just hanging out 4 to 12 inches every day, and when it goes below the horizon, of course, it will recede back. And then they have the fire tides, which, of course, we talk about the molten earth and the energies there, but it's also the actual surging and receding of the molten lava as the moon is, again, pulling on that energy. And the one that got me, because I fly a lot, is the air tides, which it will actually affect the way that the air, the atmosphere, is. It will pull it up, literally, up to 25% or 15 extra miles above where it normally is, which is about 60 miles above the Earth. And to me, that's kind of like, whoa. It is also considered one of the reasons that the higher pressures and lower pressures come when the moon is above. And they're actually very concerned that it is another way that the tornadoes and the various other atmospheric conditions are affected by. So I didn't even think about that. And, of course, if you think about new moon energy as well, you're talking about a powerful time frame where it is a lot of energy concentrated at that moment.
It's pretty interesting, too, how much influence and impact the moon has on all of these cycles of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it makes sense. It's this giant rock that's following us around in space, But how much we're impacted. Think about if that planet, if that moon wasn't there, everything that you just talked about would not be impacted. It wouldn't be shifting and changing. And so how does that impact the cycles of us as human beings, and looking at women's menstrual cycles and looking at all of these cycles and how they flow together? It's fascinating.
I know. And again, we go even to the menstrual cycle in terms of that, in terms of the female, is before we had electric lighting and all the different things that have changed the way some of us experience the light and the dark and the terms there, is that it would be a time of sloughing off. It would be the death time to the beginning of the new cycle, which is the new moon, meaning the beginning of the menstruation cycle again. So it's even in our blood, in the water that we carry around in our bodies. So the energy is very much. So I don't think it just stops with, this is a dark moon, and this is the new moon, and this is the full moon. It's the whole process. We're just trying to take a sliver and look at it.
Yeah.
At this point.
Well, and you say something interesting there, because with those cycles, we're talking about cycles and transition and movement, and how this the moon is impacting all of these cycles on the planet, from the air that we're breathing to the water to our blood. All of these things are being impacted. And I think humans, especially, you know, in our modern world, have a tendency to try to put things into little compartments, and this does this and this goes here and this does here. And even our healing industry has become like a compartmentalized. You know, doctors aren't always looking at us as a set of systems, but they look at what is wrong and how to make it right, not looking at how the impact of making it right might have on the rest of our system.
Right.
Right. So remembering that, yeah, we're talking about the new moon and we're talking about the transition, and but there's more going on. This is a cycle. It doesn't just the new moon's done. Now we'll wait till the full moon. Look at my clock until it's time to do a ritual for the full moon. No, there's flow and energy and movement happening every day, every moment, every second. And the more I'm not as tapped into the moon as I used to be. When I was probably about a decade ago, no, way more than that because my kid's older than that. So a long time ago, I was really tapped into the energy of the moon. And I've lost that a little bit. But I could feel where we were in the moon cycle. I could feel the impact of it on my body. And it's probably because I was living really remotely.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, without a lot of the light. What is that? The light pollution from a city or you know, a more metropolitan area. And there was something really powerful about being in tune with that movement and being in tune with that cycle and being able to feel it and how it impacted me in my daily life, you know. And I've lost that connection a little bit. But even just having awareness that we're not just jumping from new moon, and in 2 weeks it'll be the full moon, but there's this whole process in between.
Right. And one of the things that I would say is, and that kind of is a part of what I was thinking, is that we could probably do a moon journal.
Yeah.
And not necessarily every one of us go out and do that. I mean, it depends on our time. But even if we were to just for a moment of our day or night, take time to feel where we are.
Right.
And notice it isn't about, okay, this is the second day after the full moon, so I'm feeling blah, blah. It's just, what am I feeling? Because the moon is really water, moon feelings, that kind of a process. And if you do that and ignore anything but that and then go back after a month and look at where the phases are and how you were experiencing it, you'll start to get a feel, I believe, of what you're doing in the world in general. And that, yes, we have synthetic lighting and we have all these different things that are changing how we view the energy, but there is an inherent knowingness, because now that, you know, I am no longer bleeding, I have, you know, gone into menopause, I don't have the flow that I had when I was, and that is a very different feeling. Very different. And I mean, we all go, yeah, we don't have to deal with it. But, you know, it's more of, well, what is it I'm feeling is a deeper tide, a deeper energy.
Right.
And sometimes I have to stop and think about it because I'm so involved in the external world.
Yeah. I'm going to one up you on that journal idea.
Okay.
Because I bet there are folks who are already doing some sort of daily writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty common practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would, you know, simply add, what is the moon phase today? And there are so many calendars out there now that put the moon phases on them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just have a little symbol like, okay, we're at the new moon, or we're a big circle that I colored in for the dark moon or for the full moon or whatever, and just have a little symbol so you know what the moon phase is and where it's going, then you can add it to the journal practice you're already doing.
There you go.
And you can track changes and notice the cycles in your own processes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think about doing that all the time, but I'm not someone that journals daily.
Unfortunately, neither am I. You know, the amount of journals I start and I look back and it's pretty sad.
I always journal when it's when something big has happened or when I need help processing. But daily journaling, I just can't.
No. But that also brings up the fact that if you think of starting something on the new moon, and you put your energy, make a list, you do whatever it is, and you be practical. There's part of this is I'd like a freaking load of money, like $1 billion.
Yes.
Well, realistically, I know winning the lottery might get me some of that, but I would look at smaller increments to begin with so that I could feel the accomplishment of what is going on. So start with that and then work with it, because it's a seven-day cycle.
Right.
Because you go from new moon, 7 days in, to the next phase, which is a mid phase, to the 7 days, which is the full moon, and then onward. So it's a way of tracking when you're doing things. What symbols have you seen? What are the ways that are talking about, you know, the circumstances in your life? I was sitting here and very calmly doing my research, and there was something about writing a check. And I thought, my God, that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done it in a long time.
Right.
So I'm going to reintegrate that into something so that it's more reasonable on that basis.
Right. Right. And, you know, for the new moon and the full moon, I would say that, you know, this 2 or 3 days on either side of that occurrence is a really good time to pay attention to those signs and signals and messages from the universe. If you keep seeing something that is a message for you, like recently, I don't know what it means. I haven't looked it up yet. But every time I look at the clock, it feels like it's 1, 2, 3 or 1, 2, 3, 4 consistently. I'm seeing those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm noticing. I'm paying attention. I don't know what it means yet.
That's true. It may not even at this point have reason to have a meaning.
Sure.
It's just you're paying attention.
Right. And I definitely notice the new moon is a time of heightened intuition. And most people think that's the full moon, but it's actually the new moon, because in the full moon, you're more open to the messages of the divine ones or the mysterious ones or the ancestors, because everything is full and heightened.
Right.
The new moon is actually the best time to listen to your own intuition and your own gut and your own instinct.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get messages at this time that seem to bubble up from yourself, trust them.
You know? Right. Very personal. Actually, the other thing is that the new moon can be likened unto the high priestess in the tarot.
Yeah.
Hey. And since both of us are readers, this sort of is another part of, you know, what we do on a regular basis. But that particular card, she has her foot
right
upon the crescent moon.
Right.
Which is
right,
the intuition having itself available to come through by being connected to that new moon time frame.
Yeah. And this new moon specifically today is in the sign of Libra, which is a sign of balance. So looking at where in your life is starting to feel more balanced or where you need more balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's also being influenced by the planet of Jupiter, which is a planet of expansion and abundance and opportunity. So looking at all of these energies together, the new moon, Libra, Jupiter, where can you bring more balance and beauty and abundance into your life? You know, abundance without balance can turn into greed.
That's true.
You know, so remembering, even when you have a good flow, even when you have things going the right way, you want to make sure you're giving that back in some way, shape, or form in order to keep, again, that cycle, the movement, the flow. It relates to all things, not just the moon and the cycles of the planets running around in the sky above us, but in our own energetics.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, we're heading into our break very shortly, but one of the main goddesses for this time frame is the Maiden, which would be Diana or Artemis. So this is something that she, you know, with the animals she works with the wolves, the deer, the stag, the crescent moon, these are all part of, you know, the energies culminating in the symbology.
And often the new moon is referred to as Diana's bow.
Exactly.
She's the huntress and carries the bow and the arrows to go and get those stags or whatever.
Whatever they have to get out there. And then, you know, here's the fact there are other animals that hit the moon cycles, you know, which, of course, we've mentioned some on the full moon. But the wolves and the stag and the bear.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Artemis is one of the bear goddesses.
Right, right.
So she
the rabbit is also connected to the moon.
Right.
Energy.
Right. And interesting, I did a little bit in Strega. I kind of branched out a little bit. And the spirit of the moon is Losna.
Mm. And for those of you who don't know, Strega is Italian witchcraft.
Truly. truly it is. And very Dionic. Very Dionic in their tradition and working with it. And they tend to be more with the full moon, so that's one of the reasons why I didn't spend a lot of time going into the influence. But that particular one energy, I went, wow, that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and, you know, we have other goddesses of the moon, but I think if you have any others that you can throw in there, I think Diana or Artemis seems to be a prominent one.
Right, right. Well, and we did talk about Lilith, which we're going to talk about more after the break.
True.
Who is also a sort of a dark moon, new moon goddess, and specifically around this one, the black moon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Lilithy energy there.
Okay.
We'll talk a little bit more about her.
And we do have the Virgin Mary, and we have Kuan Yin, and so there are some others of other cultures and other belief systems. We didn't get a chance at the moment, but right now there are different new moons throughout the cultures and traditions that are celebrated. We are right now moving into Rosh Hashanah with the people of the Jewish faith, so that is something that is actually going to be happening right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so that would be like the goddess Shekinah?
Shekinah.
Right.
The feminine energy. And at this point, of course, it's considered their new year because their tradition, Happy Rosh Hashanah, which is a time frame. They go with the lunar cycle.
Right.
So.
Well, it looks like it's just about time to take our little break.
Oh, wow. We just seem to have
flown through that.
Flown through our time frame here. But
when we get back, we'll dig a little bit more into Lilith and the new moon and some magic.
Okay. Ready for magic.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30; Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7; The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6; In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7; The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30; The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, starring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
We're back,
and we're back.
Okay, so we were talking about what dark moon energy is. I think we will give it a go as the dark moon energy so we can kind of get that flowing a bit. So what would you say about the dark moon phase?
Well, I think for me, the dark moon is that it's that quiet moment. It's when there is no moon lunar influence. It's when there's a little bit of absence of light.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good time to do the workings that need to happen in the absence of light.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time to look at endings and beginnings because, again, going back to that cycle concept, which I had no idea I was going to return to a million times tonight, so funny how these things happen, but you can't have a beginning, you can't have the new moon until you have the dark moon, until you have the ending. So looking at those two points and what needs to be shut down in order for something to grow, what needs to be composted in order for something to be born,
right?
But seeds.
And this is something that I think both of us talk extremely intensely to our clients and people that come to us or share with us their concerns about situations, is that you really have to end and let go of something for something to begin again. And that doesn't matter what it is. And we tend to hold on way too tightly. So the dark moon time frame is a time of actually experiencing that letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's the crone stage. It's Hecate.
Mm-hmm.
It's that energy where you're dealing with that darkness, but yet the power within the darkness.
Right, right. Which brings us to this conversation about Lilith. And, you know, Lilith is an interesting goddess because she does come from Jewish and Christian mythology. It is believed that she was the first wife of Adam. And the mythology goes, and there are so many stories about this. So just know, Lilith is one of the goddesses that I have featured in my Goddess of the Month workshops. So I've done a lot of research on Lilith. And feel free to dig in and learn more about her yourself, because she is a goddess that is waking up right now. She's had a rebirth. In his history and in our religious history, she was made just like Adam was made. Adam was molded out of clay, so was Lilith, and they were equals. But Adam didn't like that. He wanted to be the one in charge. He wanted Lilith to lie beneath them when they made love. He wanted to have things a specific way, and Lilith refused. She wanted to be equals. She wanted to be equals in all ways. And so she was kicked out of the garden. She was forced to leave Eden, and then God said, "Ooh, I guess I kind of made a mistake on that one. Let's not make her your equal this time. Let's take one of your ribs, and we'll make Eve from the rib so that she will be submissive to you because she will be made from you." So she is not made as an equal. So as you can see, there's some interesting feminist stuff here, right? The equality of women. And in mythology from all over the world, you see it over and over and over again. I'm sure I've said this a million times. I know that the folks who come to my goddess gatherings are like, yeah, yeah, you say this every time. But you can trace the path of patriarchy. Goddess worship, matriarchal culture, you can see when the patriarchal culture got more of control. You can see it across the globe. When stories change, when the Olympians come, when the Aesir come, you can see it over and over and over again. So this is another example of patriarchal culture gaining more control, with Adam being the main go-to person and Lilith, his equal, being kicked out.
Right.
Not only that, but then those fates made her a demon, literally. Mm-hmm. She became the succubus. She would steal the semen from sleeping men in order to make little monster demon babies. She became a figure that was hated and feared still. Now, modern, Lilith, so often when I teach about goddesses, I encourage people to go to her root, to her source, to find out where she came from and learn about those oldest stories. With Lilith, I don't always necessarily think that that's the best thing to do, because in the 70s and the 80s and the 60s as well, Lilith had a revival. She became the feminist goddess.
Mm-hmm.
She became the champion of women who were like, hell no. You're not better than me. Hell no, you're not going to tell me what to do. Hell no, you're not going to use my body. Hell no. And Lilith has become this powerhouse goddess in modern times. She's been reborn as the ultimate symbol of smashing the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
She's become the ultimate symbol of feminist values. And so I feel like for Lilith, it's important to learn her roots, because I think that that's important to know and honor where these stories come from. But I think it's also important to know who she's become for modern feminist witches.
Right.
Because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a monster. She's not a succubus. She's not a vampire that's trying to steal your semen in your sleep. She's here to say, no, we're equals.
Interesting, because it's funny you use the word hell no, which I thought was very appropriate.
Yeah.
Hell no, I'm not in hell no. And the other part of all of what I'm hearing is you know, I kind of add extra things over and above that. There is actually a Canadian TV series called The Lost Girl.
Yes.
And yes, and it's interesting because the main character is, quote, a succubus, not Lilith, but a succubus, unquote. And yet the character that becomes the male that is attracted to her, but also their equal, is this man who understands the dynamic of the energy.
Right.
So I think that in its own way of using mythical creatures and you know, the whole fairy realm and everything, it's talking about the same story, but in a different format, a modern version
right.
of it.
Right.
And I really see that as empowering, and we can definitely get into a few more areas for this day and age where that empowerment is important.
Mm-hmm.
So as a goddess, yes, she is very important.
Yes.
She is very important to this time in our culture, in our lives, in the planet, but it's also, to go back to our original point of reference, for the dark moon, which becomes the new moon, which
right.
is the beginning.
Right.
So she is part of that beginning again
right.
of the next cycle.
Right, right. So we've talked a lot about what the new moon energy is related to, connected to, clearing, new beginnings, all of that wonderful stuff. So we want to encourage everyone to do something, if you haven't already, for this new moon energy. And we have a ritual to offer that I have dubbed Smash the Patriarchy. Simple, right? So here's a quick lowdown, rundown of this potential ritual that you could do tonight or tomorrow if you would like. So what you will need for this ritual is an altar. And on the altar, you will want an apple, which is a symbol of Lilith. You will want an image of Lilith. So if you don't have a statue or an image of her, go onto the Googles and type in Goddess Lilith and find an image that you really like and print it and put it on your altar. You'll need a candle, two small pieces of paper, a pen, and a little bowl that is fire safe. So first step of this ritual is to take a cleansing bath. And that can be in the bathtub, or it can be in the shower. But just take a bath with the intention of releasing, cleansing, letting go of any psychic yuck that's gotten hooked up into your aura. Just shake all that off. Use some salt, sea salt, and scrub yourself down nice and good. When you're out of the shower and dry and either sky clad or in your ritual garb or your regular jeans, whatever you feel like wearing, it doesn't matter. But put on something that helps you to connect to this new moon energy, and then create your altar. And there is no right way. You don't have to have this facing the north and this facing the south. Just those implements that I mentioned earlier, put them out so that they look pleasing to you. Especially today, we're in the new moon of Libra, and Libra is all about beauty, things looking beautiful.
Right.
Set this up beautiful. So now you're going to take a moment. Don't light the candle yet. Take a moment and write out what needs to be demolished. Patriarchy, misogyny, racism, sexism, child abuse, sex trafficking, whatever. All of the disgusting, horrible things that are destroying humanity, women, black folks, whatever feels the most potent and important for you right now, write those things out. And if you notice you're starting to get pissed, if you're starting to cry, if you're feeling things, feel those things. Mm-hmm. Emote, let them go, scream, cry, whatever. And when you have that paper, send all of that emotion into that piece of paper and then light that piece of paper on fire. Call out to Lilith. Invoke her into your space as that paper burns. Lilith, help us to transform this. Lilith, take away these things and bring us something new. Lilith, we call upon your energy of transformation. We call upon you as the righteous feminist. We call upon you, I call upon you this night to demolish these things and watch as that paper burns. And when the fire starts to go out, when there's no little red left burning, when that, you want to make sure the paper completely burns. If it stops burning, light it again.
Mm-hmm.
Call Lilith's name again. Once that's done, breathe and be in the dark for just a moment. Feel Lilith's presence for just a moment. Give yourself that pause as the new moon energy really comes out and light the candle. And feel the energy of the new moon flowing in, connecting to the work that you're doing. And now call out what is built from the rubble, what's built from that demolition. Peace, justice, equality, freedom, whatever is in your heart, whatever needs to be said. And say these things out loud and say them to Lilith. Forget all of the crap we just burned. The patriarchy is now destroyed. Misogyny is destroyed. Racism is destroyed. We're letting that go, and we're focusing on what grows from the ashes, what is growing through the cracks of the rubble, peace, freedom, love, equality, all of those things that you want to grow. And feel that. Feel what it is to be in a world that is peaceful. Feel what it is to be in a world that is where we're all equal, where we all respect each other, where there is no violence. Feel what that possibly could feel like. And let that radiate from your heart chakra. Let that radiate. Let that flame carry that feeling. Let Lilith carry that feeling. And let the candle burn out completely. So I would recommend using like a chime candle, one of those smaller 4-inch candles, so it's not burning forever and ever, or a tea light even. But let that candle burn completely. And as the candle burns out completely, then you can, if you've created sacred space, which, you know, to go back a few minutes, you should create sacred space for this one. After your cleansing bath, create sacred space, call Lilith and invite her into your circle. And then when you've reached this point of completion and your candle is burned out, thank Lilith. And that apple is hers. So take that to a crossroads or take that to a place where there is that dark goddess energy near you. No doubt you can think of some dark place where the dark goddess lives near you, and leave that apple for her as a gesture of gratitude for her working with us to demolish these things and bring the truth and justice into the light.
Powerful.
I'm all about smashing the patriarchy.
I think it's powerful. And it is, this is, again, the next wave of feminism, the next wave of where we are. It's we're in the growth cycle, even though it seemed at this time in the last year or two that it's been a death cycle. It's very much on the heels of what we're seeing.
Right.
You know, and nothing is perfect.
No.
Nothing is perfect. So you can't have a perfect marriage. You can't have a perfect life. You can't have a perfect presidency, you can't have a perfect world, you can't have perfect relationships with other nations, because there's always the other imperfectness that you have to work with, but you start with this.
Right.
You start with this.
Right. And there is a chant I would offer as well, and Alan put a link to it. There's a YouTube link in the chat room if you're interested. The chant, I could sing it, maybe I will if I'm feeling brave in a second, but the words are, "We will rise with the fire of freedom. Truth is the fire that will burn our chains, and we can stop the fire of destruction. Healing is the fire that will, I didn't write that right. Healing is the fire running through our veins." There we go. So you can use that chant if you want. After you get to the end of the ritual where your candle is burning down, you can sing that song or just
chant it.
Or just chant that chant, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We use a lot of music in reclaiming, so.
And yeah. I was trained a lot with the singing, even though I don't consider my voice all that swift and beautiful, but, you know, it's the energy that you put into it, and that definitely is a very powerful ritual,
right.
And I thank you that it will be something I am truly looking at doing when we get off here and go our separate ways, and it's interesting, too, because Lilith is the maiden aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So it isn't that she had children, even though, quote, in other ways they have made her have children.
Yeah, millions of demon babies.
Demon babies. Well, I mean, sometimes we feel that way about our families, too. But be that as it is, we do need to also mention that October 15th and 16th, even though we're coming close to the end, the Mystic Fair will be happening here in Santa Rosa at the Santa Rosa Memorial Vet Center from 10 in the morning to 5. That's free admission and free parking, lots of different vendors. Phoenix and I will be there in our capacities, both as readers, but also as she will have her store items.
Yes.
Which she will reclaim from the Hexen Fest.
Yes.
And bring forth. And then we will be able to also see you at the Muir Tea room.
Yes, on the 22nd, on Saturday the 22nd, we are doing an all enchanted Hallows evening. And we will have, there'll be special rates for dinner and tea, and that includes a 15-minute tarot reading. That's in downtown Sebastopol, Muir's Tea House. And Elvira, myself, and Pollyanna Costa, who's another reader at Milk and Honey, will be doing readings at this event.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the dinner is a Victorian seance.
And I do want to ask, is there a website that they can go to buy tickets or anything?
No, you will need to call Muir's Tea House to make reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now that you've asked, I don't have that number handy.
Okay.
Yeah, but Muir Tea House in Sebastopol.
Okay.
We're doing three sort of seatings throughout the
mm-hmm.
evening for dinner, and
mm-hmm.
the first is already full. So reservations, it's definitely booking up, and you can't get in without a reservation.
Okay.
So. And you can just come to the seance if you don't want to do
any of the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it'll be fun. There's some spirit board stuff happening.
Ooh.
Spooky Victorian witchy shit.
Well, we'll certainly definitely be there with our Victorian garb or thereabouts on.
Yes.
And I just wanted to bring that in since we obviously missed our normal promo time because
right.
we got so excited about the Dark Goddess.
Right.
And all that's going on. So is
we
there...
do live in an area, Elvira and I, where there is just so many things going on in October. It feels like the kickoff of the holiday madness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in the area, if you are local or you feel like flying in, October's the month to do it. But also involved with, on Friday the 21st, is the North Bay Reclaiming Samhain ritual, spelled Samhain. What in Samhain?
Have we done here?
Yeah, and that will be at the Grange Hall, also in Sebastopol. But the Samhain ritual is a really beautiful event where we get to talk about, connect to, feel the energies of our beloved dead and those ancestors that have passed on before, both recent and from the beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my favorite ritual of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming up to our favorite time of the year. I mean, we're... At least this is my favorite time.
Yeah.
I mean, just because I was born in December doesn't mean that I don't love December, but this is really the meat and potatoes of
right.
my feeling about the craft.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And that's why, you know, the dark moon is always so to be in the you know, as I said, I've got a whole new picture of what dark moon, new moon is. But that's why this is such a wonderfully powerful time.
Yeah.
And
then next week we're going to talk about Demeter, Persephone, and Hecate.
My favorite goddess, Hecate!
Yeah, so sort of that triple goddess, the maiden
uh-huh.
mother crone goddess,
uh-huh.
those Greek ladies, the Eleusinian mysteries.
And if I can, I may see if we can actually post a picture of Hecate's temple
nice.
On Sicily. And she had a small temple that was attached to the temple for Demeter.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Sicily was called the Isle of Persephone.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went there, I was bound and determined to go off and find a temple to Hecate. And
right, which is not easy to find because
no.
she often didn't have a temple.
No, she didn't. And I actually have a picture of it, so I will try and get Miss Phoenix here to take a picture so we can post it. But that is one of the things that I found really interesting. And, of course, the fact that we're doing the triplicity,
right.
we've gone from, like, new moon, which, of course, is Persephone, which we need
mm-hmm.
to point that out. That's
mm-hmm.
part of her time frame here, too, and into the actual myth and energy pattern of
yeah.
that triplicity and what it means at this time frame, which is going into the underworld.
Right.
So that's a plus on our side. And, you know, if there's any other fun facts I can throw at us is that we actually have, if I am not mistaken, a time frame called the Lesser Dionysus and the Haloya Festival. And the Haloya Festival actually is the festival for Demeter and Persephone, but since I do have the Lesser Dionysus, that's considered the new moon in the September time frame.
Mm,
yeah, it's ancient Greece.
Well, happy new moon, everyone, and thank you for tuning in with us again this week. And we'll be back, same bat time, same bat channel.
Simply put, we're here to stay. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.